The tornado that hit the Champaign County town of Gifford last Sunday tore off the back of Mary Sutherland's house. Mary says the work to clear the debris from her property is already underway, with a lot of help from the community.
I'm looking right now into my backyard, and I see my son-in-law, my two best friends. There's additional 10, 15 people, and I do not know any of them.
I'm Jim Meadows, and today on Focus, we'll discuss rebuilding after a tornado. I'll talk with Mary Sutherland and also with Rick Atterbury of the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency, and the man who was mayor of Ogden when a tornado tore through that town in 1996. Focus continues after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. If your neighborhood suffered damage in last Sunday's outbreak of tornadoes, which fell across six states, you don't need the media to tell you what it was like. But for most of us, the news media is our window to the terrible damage suffered in towns like Gifford and Washington and Illinois and Kokomo and Indiana. That window will stick around for a few days, maybe even weeks, but in time the news coverage will diminish long before the cleanup and rebuilding is completed. Today on Focus, we're going to try to take a look at the work going on now and the work that will be going on in the weeks and months and even years to come in areas hit by tornadoes. And we'll start by saying hello to someone whose home suffered a direct hit last Sunday. Mary Sutherland lives with her husband in Gifford, where they operate an ice cream shop. Mary, good morning and welcome to Focus.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, glad to have you with us, Mary. I understand that you and your husband lost your house in Gifford to the tornado.
We certainly did.
I am so sorry to hear that. But I understand that you're staying put, that you're determined to rebuild and stay in Gifford.
Oh, absolutely. We don't want to live anywhere else.
Now, I could see that some people, when they're faced with a situation like this, just might find it easier to pull up stakes and find another place to live as soon as they can and just stay there. But why have you and your husband decided to stay in Gifford and rebuild?
I think there's something about roots. And I was born in Gifford, and I just feel that a lot of my friends are there. My family is there. We have a business there, and that's where we want to be.
Okay. Mary, can you tell me about your experience when the tornado struck? To start with, where were you at that moment?
Well, right at that moment, we had already gotten down into the basement. I had been in the kitchen. We, of course, had been watching the news and watching the skies, and had noticed that the sky just seemed different than anything I'd really ever seen before. And I told my grandson and my husband, I think we need to go to the basement. So we grabbed flashlights, went down to the basement. Within seconds, really, the alarm went off, the siren. What was different about that is that it was a short siren, and normally when you hear those things, they just are continual. Well, we have one window in that area. My husband went to look out the window when the siren stopped because it's a half a block from our house. And I said, I think we need to go to the back where there's no windows at all. And within 15 seconds, we were in that room, which is just a few steps away, and couldn't get the door shut. We knew that right at that moment we'd been hit. We were in the room, and we're there probably less than a minute, I'm thinking. So that's about how long it took to know for it to stop. We knew that it had gone on, and we came out of the room, looked out, saw our foundation had cracked in the basement, and knew at that time that it was bad.
Was there a noise that the storm made as it passed through?
Oh, yes. When you hear that it was a train, like a train huddling down a track, that's exactly what it was. It was just a like it was swirling. And then, of course, the damage, you could just hear debris and things hitting the house.
Wow. Now, you said you had gotten a lot of advance word. The weather forecasts, I assume, were full of this information
Yes, we knew. We was watching the television. We had, of course, seen on the internet things, were tracking it, seeing where it was, when it was coming. Of course, we didn't know that it was going to be as bad as what it was. We just knew that it was a storm. And the only way that I knew that it was different was the sky was so different than anything I'd ever seen.
Okay. Now, the siren, when you said that it blew in a sort of a short pattern, was that a pattern or was the siren being cut off by the storm somehow?
It was cut off by the storm. It wasn't even a pattern. Normally, as you know, when you hear the sirens, it's a series of long blasts. And this was a blast, lasted a couple of seconds, and then we started hearing, well, the glass blew in from the one window in the area that we were in the basement, and the blast had stopped. The siren had stopped.
Okay. Now, I understand the tornado essentially tore off the back of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it pushed the rest of it off its foundation?
We're on our foundation, but it's completely destroyed. We had steel girders that came right through the brick foundation.
Oh, wow. So where are you living now?
Right now we're staying with some very, very good friends that's allowing us to share their home and drive us back and forth and do the things we need to do as well as the cleanup of our home.
Okay. Are you able to retrieve things from the house?
We were so very lucky and so very blessed that our basement, we had a number of things stored, tubs of pictures, things from our past that could not be replaced, and we have all of those things.
Okay. Now, I understand you also operate an ice cream shop in Gifford?
We do. It's Lenny's Ice Cream Gallery.
Is your husband named Lenny?
He is. His name is Lenny.
He's the Lenny. Right. Okay.
He's the Lenny.
How did that business fare in the storm?
Surprisingly well. We are actually just getting in there today. The front awning blew off. We had a back garden with seating for customers, and that was completely destroyed. But as far as we can tell, the shop itself is intact.
Okay. Now, you hope to reopen the shop fairly quickly. What do you think is realistic there?
We've got power in Gifford today is what I understand. Haven't been there yet, but I understand that. And being in the downtown business district, we're assuming that our shop has it. My husband is actually there right now. And so we're hoping next week.
Okay. In the meantime, you've got a lot of work ahead of you to rebuild. And
yep.
I think not just the labor of rebuilding, but there's always paperwork and things like that. Are you able to get the information and help you need to get that process started?
I can't tell you enough about how wonderful our insurance company has been. Insurance generally gets a bad rap, but our company, Hartford, was there yesterday. It was the first time we'd ever met our adjuster, and that young man has just guided us in everything that we need to do and is very protective of us. As someone came up to us asking some questions, and he took me aside and he said, I just don't want you to be taken advantage of. And he's taking care of everything for us.
That's good to hear. Now, just really one more question. I know if you were struck, then your neighbors were struck as well. Have you been in touch with the other neighbors who lost homes, and how's everybody feeling out there?
Gifford is just a wonderful place to live. We're a small village of about 950 people, and you can rest assured that your neighbors have your back. Our good neighbors across the street from us, their home is completely destroyed. And Mr. Heimberger is in the hospital. He's not doing well. He's in bad stages of cancer. Mrs. Heimberger was there by herself and has taken a turn for the worse. We don't know any updates as of today, but we are going over there today to start getting their place cleaned out for them. They haven't had a lot of help, and as you can imagine, you know, the kids want to be with their parents in this time of need, and so we will be taking care of that, and we see that everywhere we go.
Well, you're being generous enough to lend a hand for that family is certainly worth commending, especially considering all the challenges you have ahead.
Yeah, it's not short of what anybody has done. We have had people in our house, in our yard, that I do not even know. And those people, they've just worked themselves and are so gracious.
Okay. Well, Mary Sutherland, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about what you've been through. I don't know, Thanksgiving is next week. Do you know how you're going to be celebrating it?
We're going to be with our daughter and son-in-law and our grandchildren, and they live in Rantoul.
Okay. Well, Mary, I hope you can rebuild quickly and get your business back up and running soon as well.
Well, thank you very much for the time, and I just can't say enough about how wonderful our community is and the outside community as well that's come in and donated money and clothes and food and has been there for the people of Gifford.
Well, Mary, thank you again for talking with us here on Focus.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And this is Focus on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows, and we are looking at the aftermath of Sunday's tornado, focusing right now on Gifford, the small town in northeast Champaign County that was hard hit by a tornado on Sunday. Now I'm talking on the phone. I believe he's with me, Rick Atterbury. Rick Atterbury is with the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency. And Rick, I understand you're out in Gifford right now?
Yes, indeed. Right on the edge of downtown, which is the southern edge of where most of the damage is at the community center here. We're staging the media here today. It is a busy day here today.
Okay. Well, what does Gifford look like right now? Just give us a picture because, as you said, there's an edge to where the damage was. How much of the town was hit and how much is still intact?
I think that it's probably 40 to 50% of the town had some damage. The official count from Gifford and the towns or the farms around is 250 buildings damaged and 60 totally destroyed. Right across the street from where I am now, which is basically the dead center in town, the water tower's right here, is a pile of rubble that was a building. There are some houses just beyond that that are totally gone. A house just to my left, which a longtime resident told me yesterday, and he must have been about 80, he said he remembered the woman who lived there when he was a kid. It's in a shambles. It is really a devastating sight to see as you look across here.
Are power lines up and connected? How about other infrastructure in Gifford?
They're coming along. Power was restored to a small corner of the town yesterday afternoon and to quite a bit more of the non-affected southern part of town overnight last night. Then the crews took a break. They're back full steam ahead now. I can see them stringing lines on all three, actually. Well, two of the three main east and north-south streets in town, they're working hard on right now, stringing the lines to get power back to as many of the people in houses that are habitable as possible. People are cognizant of the fact that the weather is going to turn on us here as early as late this afternoon in terms of rain and then get much colder this weekend, so they're trying to get as much power restored as quickly as possible. Gas will be a somewhat slower process because they have to make sure that the gas lines in each one of these badly damaged and destroyed homes is capped before they energize that system. Water did come back on late yesterday afternoon, which is both a godsend and a miracle because they were looking at least a week. The original estimate was they have bypassed the water plant was badly damaged. They have bypassed.
This is Gifford's own water plant.
That's Gifford's own water plant, correct. They're not interconnected with anyone else. They've bypassed the filter system. So while the people do now have water for sanitation needs, for clothes washing and showers and all of that, It's not drinkable, so the boil order will continue probably for quite some time. But there is plenty of bottled water around, staged around town for people for drinking purposes.
Okay, so in the meantime, along with the attempt to restore utilities and that sort of infrastructure, I understand there's just a lot of cleanup going on at this point.
An incredible amount today. There are crews here from Champaign, from the Illinois Department of Transportation, from some of the townships around here. They've kind of been taking turns and rotating. There are some inmates from the Illinois Department of Corrections who are working alongside those trucks from the Illinois Department of Transportation to load debris into those. The debris removal is going to be a massive, massive project, as you might expect. And not all landfills can accept all types of debris. So people who are cleaning up their own property can bring the debris roadside, but they have to separate it into first trees and limbs, then construction material, then bathroom fixtures. They want the ceramics separated. And these are state requirements. This is not something they're doing locally. White goods, which the rest of us know as major appliances, washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, that's a different pile. Tires are a pile, batteries are a pile, and then, as you might expect, hazardous materials, which include things like cleaning solvents and that sort of thing, are also a separate pile. And trucks will be driving by to pick up specific items and taking them to the appropriate landfills for disposal. The main thing about debris removal at this point is that we really don't want anybody to set a fire to burn their debris. There is so much debris, and it's actually windy enough that a fire could spread very quickly, and there's still that issue with getting the gas lines up and operating, too.
I'm thinking of electronic appliances, things like TVs and computers, which recently, I guess in the last couple of years, were banned from Illinois landfills. Are they their own separate pile, or do they go with white goods? What happens to them?
You know, Jim, that's an excellent point, and that's not covered in the material that we received to separate. I think that given that recent change in law, that you make a valid point that there's probably one more pile that people ought to make, and that is for electronics, microwaves, televisions, and other things like that.
Well, in the meantime, you're asking people to, you know, they're responsible for clearing their yards and getting the stuff out on the edge. How much longer do you expect the crews will be available to haul things away like this?
Well, it's kind of a two-pronged thing. As the insurance adjusters come in and work with the homeowners, once the insurance adjusters tell the homeowners, go ahead and hire a contractor to clean this up, at that point, when the contractor shows up, the contractor is responsible for making sure that the debris gets into the right kind of landfill. The restrictions I was talking about are mostly for people who are cleaning up their own property right now. They bring it out to the site. There will be crews getting this debris out of here as long as it takes within reason. But this is not something that's going to end today or tomorrow. The intensity of it will, over time, ramp down. But there are days of work ahead of people here at debris removal.
Okay, and so the contractor will know where, say, the hazardous waste should be taken to.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Rick Atterbury of Champaign County Emergency Management Agency here on Focus. He is in Gifford. If you have any questions for Rick about handling all the cleanup after Sunday's tornado, give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. You can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu, and you can contact us on Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. What work is your agency, the Emergency Management Agency, responsible for in Gifford, and what are other agencies doing, whether they're public or private?
Sure. At this point, what the Emergency Management Agency is responsible for, and the Sheriff's Office working together because they're both units of county government, is managing the resources. The response part of this is pretty much over. That was Sunday. We're in short-term recovery now. And in managing the resources, that means, like, well, for example, late Sunday night, became apparent that the sewer system could be operable, but it didn't have any power. And there are several lift stations in town to move the sewage out to the plant, which is about a mile and a half south of town, as I understand it. So the emergency management agency had some generators and brought them in, and the sewage system was up and running, which was a major help for the nursing home in town, because otherwise they would have had to have made other arrangements for the people who are staying there. So they were able to stay open once the sewer system was up and going. But the emergency management agency knows we don't have a giant warehouse full of stuff. We do happen to have several generators. But what we do have is we know where to get stuff, whether it's federal resources, state resources, or the private sector. And that's the kind of thing. We also bring in the emergency command post so that early in the disaster, the unified command can be set up so the representatives of all the responding agencies are there. You mentioned other agencies as well. Something that's quietly going on here but deserves recognition. Well, there goes a truck now from the Public Health District. Public Health is...
From Champaign-Urbana Public Health District?
Yes. Yes, and what they'll be doing, along with Presence Medical today, is setting up an area where they're going to be giving people tetanus shots, because it's real easy to cut yourself or step on a nail in this debris field here. So they're going to be doing that. What I wanted to mention was, notice particularly this morning, there's a shift change. People are working generally 12-hour shifts, the responders. And at the 7 o'clock handoff, where people in the overnight shift say, well, this is what went on overnight, and they hand off to the morning shift, the fire department in Gifford, they're being assisted and relieved to a large extent by other area fire departments, because many of the members of the Gifford Volunteer Fire Department had their own damage to deal with, and they went through a lot emotionally during those early hours on Sunday. As last night, we had fire department representatives and equipment here from System Park, from Shabance up that way, Ashcom up north of here, and from Loda, which isn't that far from here. All together, they took care of the Gifford Fire Department overnight last night. Today, I know there are more units in there. I saw Tawanda coming in from over by Bloomington. Yesterday, among others, Sullivan was here with their bright blue fire engines. So other area departments are taking care of any response calls out of the Gifford Fire Department so that the Gifford firefighters can deal with things at home. And it's that kind of cooperation. I heard Mary talk about the way the neighbors are helping neighbors. It is an amazing thing to watch. The good spirits everybody were in last night at the community meeting. It was really nothing short of inspiring the way that people are responding to this so far. And we're under no illusions. As the days turn into weeks, turn into months, there's going to be stress. But for the moment, people are really stepping up. There's a sign at the outside of the city that says, "Gifford, welcome to Gifford, America's hometown." And I was thinking about that this morning, that that's what we're seeing demonstrated here right now.
You know, I was thinking, while you're doing all this work in Gifford, and they certainly need all this help, you're with the emergency management agency for all of Champaign County, and there is damage elsewhere in the county, isn't there, that you have to look after?
Absolutely. We're principally, because that is so scattered, there's not a widespread, we're making sure that all of that gets cataloged. All of those damage assessments are done, because that, in the long run, will make a big difference in a disaster declaration that could bring federal aid to bear on the recovery here in Champaign County. So that's all being assessed. There will be FEMA assessment teams in to do a secondary assessment here shortly. But yes, well, here goes. I knew this was happening today, too. The insurance companies have arranged for towing companies to come in, and there's an unbelievable number of damaged vehicles here that are being hauled out today, too, because they're a hazard with the gas tanks and the batteries and the fluids and such. So you can't imagine the different kinds of things that have to be cleaned up in this mess.
Wow. So there are certainly a lot of things to pay attention to. Now, Champaign County is officially a state disaster area, not yet federal?
That's correct. The governor declared a state disaster, I believe it was as early as Sunday night, because there are at least 13 counties in the state that have some kind of damage from this. What will happen now is that reports from all of those, the damage assessments from all 13 counties that were affected in one way or another, will be compiled and submitted to FEMA in anticipation of a presidentially declared disaster, which will free up some other federal resources to come in. Should mention in the meantime that Governor Quinn made available just shy of $3.5 million yesterday for people who are uninsured and had losses so that they can start the process of getting back on their feet. And the Red Cross has that paperwork here at the Country Health Nursing Home on Route 136 in Gifford, and will help people get started with the paperwork to participate in that. There is a formula based on the population of a state that determines if your losses warrant a federal intervention or whether they can be handled at the state level. There has not been a federal presence here to speak of. There has been over in Washington. I'm fairly confident that we're going to meet that threshold this time. 2 years back when the tornado hit Hillsborough, it did not hit that. One of the things that happens is because of the population of Chicago and the suburbs, it's a very high threshold for Illinois. But I think with with Washington and Gifford and everything else in between, that there's a decent chance that it will rise to the federal standard this time.
Okay. And I'm wondering, for people who are who are interested in helping out, is there a place to go for basic information? I am looking at your agency's Facebook page now, and it's talking about the establishment by the United Way of a Gifford Area Relief Fund.
Yes, there is the Gifford Area Relief Fund through the United Way. There are funds established at some banks, Gifford State Bank. People could also make donations directly if they have an affinity for the Salvation Army or the Red Cross. Financial donations are by far preferable to material donations. It's just very difficult to manage material at this time. In fact, there were three locations in town where people were dropping off clothing and it just had to say no more. If there are churches and other organizations around the area that are collecting goods, that's fine, and we appreciate those thoughts, but those organizations need to be prepared to hold on to those goods for a while until we can get to that stage of the recovery where dispensation of those can take place. Getting the financial donations in through the United Way, through the other agencies, can get that money in the hands of the people who need it that much more quickly.
Rick, I'm going to take a call now from someone who knows the story of this sort of recovery from later down the road. And I believe I'm talking to Jack Ryder.
Yes, Jack Ryder from the village of Ogden.
That's right. And you're the mayor in Ogden.
Yeah, I'm the mayor of Ogden, and I've been through two of these tornadoes, one as a resident and one also pretty much as the mayor and a trustee. What I've been listening to, it's all pretty much down there. The lady who called about her business, the resiliency of small towns, that is there. We went through the same thing. And I'd just like to express that our residents and of Ogden express our, feelings that we have gone through it, that you will get through it as well. I don't want to say the pleasure, but I worked with Bill Keller, and Rick, it sounds like everything that you were doing, we have done, and it does take a while. The rebuilding process will go through. You can't say enough about the volunteers. We got to a point to where we had to turn down people, and I think that just shows a lot of how things are done, and just to let the people of Gifford and other areas know that they will bounce back and the infrastructure will improve. And I'd just like to thank you for doing this as part of your agency.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. I remember Ogden well. At that time, I was still on the other side working at a local radio station, and we were involved in that then. And you're absolutely right. The spirit of the small communities, and I grew up in Washington, so I know what's going on over there right now, and I hope to be over there later in the week. I still have family members there. They're doing the same thing. It's a larger community, but the roots in that community are very, very deep, and people are going to be helping each other cope with this.
Well, I'd like to thank Mayor Jack Ridner of Ogden for calling in. A little later on, we'll be talking to his predecessor in Ogden, who was there when a tornado hit the town badly in 1996. Rick Atterbury, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure thing, Jim.
And I understand you have a few more busy days ahead of you out there.
At least a couple, and at some point the county agency will turn this over to the local officials, but we'll be standing behind them with help with the paperwork and all of the recovery process. The next step is the long-term recovery process, and we'll be engaged in that.
Well, thank you very much, Rick.
Sure thing, Jim.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll look at how Ogden fared when it was badly hit by a tornado about 18 years ago, when we talk with the former mayor of Ogden, the man who was mayor when the storm hit. This is Focus on WILL. Welcome back to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. We are looking at recovery from tornadoes, like the recovery work going on now as they clean up and rebuild in Gifford in northeast Champaign County. But we're also looking back at an earlier tornado recovery. In Wikipedia, it's called the April 1996 Tornado Outbreak Sequence. That was a series of tornado outbreaks that occurred over 3 days in April of 1996 over a large area of eastern North America. The first day, April 19th, was the most prolific outbreak of tornadoes ever seen in Illinois' recorded history. 33 tornadoes, and one of them, an F3 tornado, grew to over 1 mile in width. It hit Decatur. Then it kept traveling quite a distance to the eastern section of Urbana, and then farther east, where it destroyed, if I understand this right, nearly every home in the small town of Ogden. Jim Gilliland was the mayor of Ogden at the time. He lives in Ogden today. He has seen the town recover from that tornado. And Jim Gilliland, welcome to Focus. And we're trying to reach Jim Gilliland. He is the former mayor of Ogden. We had him just a moment ago, and we will try to get him back on the line as well. He was the mayor when Ogden was struck by a pretty bad tornado in April of 1996. I was not here at WILL in 1996, but the WILL newsroom was certainly here. And let's just as sort of a prelude before we get to Mr. Gilliland, play a news report that aired on WILL in April of 1996. This is Sarah Day reporting for our station when Governor Jim Edgar visited the tornado hit town of Ogden.
Governor Edgar toured Ogden yesterday, viewing the excessive damage done by last Friday's tornado. Along the way, he spoke to residents, including Jack Hall, whose North Street house was almost totally demolished.
You were able to save anything?
I'm going through valuables, papers, clothing. I was able to salvage most of the clothes, most of the furnishing. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out yet. But
well, good luck. We'll try to get some help for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The federal disaster declaration makes tornado victims in Champaign and Macon counties eligible for grants and loans to rebuild. Edgar also presented an American flag and dedicated a new flagpole in Ogden. Mayor Jim Gilliland called the flag a sign of hope.
That's what the flagpole is for, to show you that we can rise out of the ashes.
More than 1,000 homes and businesses in the two counties were damaged or destroyed by tornadoes. I'm Sarah Day.
And that's a report by Sarah Day, not of the most recent tornado damage in Gifford, but of tornado damage 18 years ago in 1996 in Ogden. And you heard the voice of then Mayor of Ogden, Jim Gilliland. And we have him here on the phone today. Mr. Gilliland, welcome to Focus.
Well, thank you for having me.
I don't know if we were able to hear that news report and hear your voice from 18 years back. And
Yes, I was.
What sort of memories it brought back to you? April 19th, 1996. You're the mayor of Ogden. Where were you when this tornado hit?
We were, believe it or not, we were at home, and I was out on the porch watching the storm roll in, and you could see the darkness in the background as we had lightning flash across the sky, and the wind was blowing, and then all of a sudden, the wind just stopped, and everything got dead quiet, and we decided it was time to get in and get into the bathtub, and that's what we did, and then the wind picked up, and you could hear the debris hitting the side of our house.
You got in the bathtub for protection, I take it.
Yes, correct. We got in there with my wife and our new puppy and I, and we covered ourselves up and just prayed that we were right or out.
Okay. And the storm, did the storm come to your house or near it? What? How close did it get?
Well, we're on the northwest corner of town, and we were kind of on the edge of it, so we were very fortunate and blessed that we didn't have hardly any damage whatsoever to our home. So, which was really important later on as we worked in the recovery. And the storm was more south of us going, and it took a direction right through the middle of town.
Was there much of a warning? I mean, first of all, had you had any warnings about the weather that this might produce tornadoes?
Yes, we had been following the television broadcasts of the weather reports most of that evening. So we knew something was coming, and we didn't know the severity that it was going to end up being. But, yes, we were aware that it was coming, and so we had the storm spotters were out watching on the edge of town, which was part of our protection.
Did the siren go off in Ogden?
Well, at that time, we had a siren that had to be manually turned on, and unfortunately, by the time the gentleman got there to do that, the storm hit, and the siren and the building that the siren was on top of came tumbling down. Fortunately, he was not hurt, but we did not have a siren warning at that time, and since then, the village trustees and mayor we've got two new sirens up now, and they are automatically set off from the county, I believe. So we have a much better warning system today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how broad the warning was last Sunday if the sirens went off in Ogden this past weekend because of that storm.
I don't remember hearing them. I don't remember hearing them. No, I don't believe they did in Ogden.
So you were hiding out. How long did it take for you to feel that everything was clear, that you could come out?
Well, once the sound of the freight train left, and then you quit hearing the debris hit the side of the house, it was kind of maybe the worst that's passed. So that's when we got out and went outside on our front porch and looked around just from our front porch, the neighborhood that we could see.
Okay. What did you see?
Well, we had one of those big traveling campers that had been blown over on its side, and of course the trees were up. That's what struck me really at that time, that the trees were stripped bare of any foliage.
Mr. Gilliland, we're getting a little bit of breakup. I don't know what your phone situation is, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a cord or a lack of a cord, which may be inhibiting the signal. I think things are okay over here, but of course we have a lot of wires. We never know.
Right, right. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you sound good now. If you could go over again what you saw.
Okay, well, it was just the fact that the trees were stripped bare was what struck me at the moment, and there just didn't seem to appear to be much damage on what I could see from my porch. But then someone come by and said, you better start heading downtown.
And what did you see downtown?
Well, as I walked downtown, you could begin to smell the gas from the homes that had been damaged, and the gas meters had been broken off, and so you had that stench in the air. Debris in the trees, cars turned over, it was really something that you just almost can't put into words, just the devastation that was there, and it just seemed like such a short period of time. That the storm was actually going on and the massive destruction that it can do.
We're talking with Jim Gilliland. He's the former mayor of Ogden. He was the mayor of Ogden in April of 1996 when that town was hit badly by our tornado. We're going back on his experiences and memories from then. If you have some questions or maybe some of your own experiences with severe storms to talk about, give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That phone number again is 1-800-222-WILL. Our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. You can contact us at Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. I can't imagine being in that situation. You're the mayor of Ogden, looking at this devastation. What do you do first? What did was help already arriving? What did you do?
Well, you could hear, shortly after tornado, by the time I got downtown, you could hear the sirens of emergency equipment coming your way. But it was just so overwhelming that I just didn't know what to do. I just stood there and looked every direction I looked in. There was destruction, and I thought, what am I going to do? This is beyond me. But then once the help got here, and especially IEMA from the state, they had dealt with this before, and they just jumped right in and kind of gave me direction. The decisions were left up to me and the board as far as what we actually would do, but they had great advice, and I kind of played on their past background and direction on what I should do from that point going forward.
What were the first things that got done?
Well, the first thing we did, the volunteer fire department started going house to house and to try to make a head count of the community and the people in it, and to see if anyone was hurt and if there was medical attention needed. That was ongoing, then once the state police got here, we were told that we should shut down the town just to keep, because of the debris all over the town, leaking gas, down wires, that we should shut down the town and not allow anyone in until we kind of try to get a handle on what's going on and what direction we should go.
Now, did you have a lot of community cooperation? Of course, this is a small town. A lot of people know each other.
Right.
But when you're securing the town, when you're barricading it, essentially, was there anybody unhappy about those restrictions?
Oh, I think there was. And you found out later, a few days later, because we kept the town locked down for a couple of days because we didn't want sightseers, for one thing, because we still had a lot of debris and we wanted to get emergency equipment in to start cleaning up as quickly as we could. So I think there were a few people who felt that maybe we were a little too strict, but you know, you got a lot of emotions running very high in a situation like this, and you have to take that in consideration. People have lost a lot and are going through a lot, and they're confused just like myself. But for the most part, the community pulled together and we all worked together, and that's the great thing of a small community in a rural setting, that the people, even though you may not see them on a day-to-day basis, when something happens, a tragedy or an emergency, they always step up and do the neighborly thing of taking care of each other.
Now, right now in Gifford, they're still clearing the debris. It's like
right.
3 or 4 days after. At some point, you get from clearing things, clearing off the damage, to really rebuilding. How did that work out in Ogden? How long did it take for that rebuilding to get underway? What sort of hoops and paperwork processes did you have to go through?
Well, once we got the debris, clearing the debris, stacking it, we at that time, of course, back then, we just separated the metal. We had up at the park, we had a line of metal that we would separate, and then the rest of it, we were allowed to dig a big fire pit, and by pit, that's really not the right term. It was a huge hole, and we dumped all burnable things in that and burned day and night for several weeks.
Wow.
So we were allowed to do that through the state EPA. The clearing away, getting the power up, we were fortunate. The water system was not damaged in any way, and we had a huge generator backup, so the system kept functioning. The sewer plant was not damaged in any way, so we were very fortunate in that way. We just had to set up get some power to the village office, which was still there, and some of the trailers that IEMA had brought in, and we needed power to them. So
now, were those trailers that IEMA was using for their own coordination?
Yeah, it was more of a command post type thing.
Where were people, the people who had lost their homes, who could not stay in their homes in Ogden, where were they living during all this?
Well, I think some were staying with friends and family out of town. Like us, we stayed in our home because we didn't have power for many days, but we could still stay in the home. And I think some of that on this side of town was done. But I think it was just a fact of family and friends stepping up, and that's where they stayed. And then once we released the town to travel, then people could come and go and made it a lot easier to get out and come back in, which they could come in if they had the valid driver's license that indicated they were residents here in town.
Did the village or did residents get assistance in rebuilding anything that came from the state or federal government?
Yeah, I think FEMA came in and offered, and we had a lot of donations. Just like the lady that you interviewed earlier, the people just stepped up. People you don't know and probably never will know stepped up to give financially, and also like Gifford, we had a lot of donations of clothing, and you had to close that down. And like Mr. Reitner said earlier, that we got so many volunteers, you were just overwhelmed. Almost more volunteers than you had actual residents. At one time is what it seemed like.
Now, I'm wondering, because as time goes on, and the rebuilding process must have taken, well, did it take months or did it take years?
No, it took several months, and even some of it in years. And the landscape of the town changed because we were a town of a lot of older homes, smaller homes on smaller pieces of property. So unfortunately, some people decided not to rebuild, and so other people built homes on double-sized lots. So the landscape of the town changed, and that was a big difference. You noticed when you walked around town afterwards, several months afterwards, or even years afterwards, the landscape had changed as far as the appearance of the town. But no, it's going to take you months to a year to 1 or 2 years to actually get the town back to being rebuilt. It's an ever-going process for such a period of time, and the cleanup is what is really so massive at this point.
Now, you talked about how people really banded together at the outset, but mm-hmm. I could just imagine as time goes on, there will be difficulties or disagreements that arise. Did you find that happening in Ogden?
Oh, yeah, there was individuals, yes, and not many, just a few who might have not felt that something was being done the way they would like to have it done, because, like I said, it's just human nature. You went through an experience, and you want to get back to normal life as quickly as you can, and so it becomes sometimes frustrations become very high, and you have to deal with that and understand where people are coming from, and then eventually once you talk with them and you work through their problems, then they're calm again, and everything is back to the way it is to get the building done. Number one was I wanted people to understand in Ogden that what we went through was terrible, but you come out on the other side much better as a community and as individuals. And that's why we agreed as a town board that we needed the flag as a symbol. And we wanted to get electricity back there as fast as we can to get that flag lit so it was visible night and day. And that was just something that we felt was important to let the people know that Ogden isn't gone, we're just temporarily disabled.
That's a flag, and where is that flagpole now?
That's downtown at the Veterans Park, and it's still there today.
That's one of the first things that went up?
Yes, yep. That was we just felt that the community needed some kind of sign, a rallying point, and we hope that was something that some people felt was a good idea.
Now, I understood that you stepped down as mayor later in that year.
Yes.
Was that anything to do with all the difficulties from rebuilding, or was that just...
No, it was more of a personal, physical, some things came up during the storm, because when it first started, I was up there at the village office for probably 4 or 5 days in a row, and just sitting there with people coming in, asking questions, giving directions to my board who went out and did the jobs that were asked of them. So, but it was just more physical things, and I was still worked full-time at that time. The mayor was a part-time position, and I had to go back to work, and so I was trying to balance work, come home in the evening, and it was just kind of hard to deal with things when you weren't there during the day, and that was what was needed. And the physical things, and I thought, well, for the best of me and for the best of the community, I need to step aside.
We're coming close to the end of the program, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, even though you were not in village government after that, unless, I don't know if you stayed on the village board. Or
no, okay. No, I resigned and left the board also.
Okay, but you were certainly an Ogden resident, and you've seen this rebuilding going on over the years. How do you feel about your town now, looking back?
I'm very proud of the town and the people in it, and I'm a small town guy, and it's small town living is great as far as I'm concerned, and I can't say enough about the people of Ogden, what they've been through and what they've come through, and the resiliency that they showed. And I would encourage the people of Gifford to stand firm, and they will get through this.
Well, Jim Gilliland, I want to thank you for talking with us about how Ogden recovered from the tornado that struck there 18 years ago. And thank you very much for talking with us today.
Okay, thank you. And I also want to encourage the Gifford leaders, political leaders, that this will come together and you'll be much, much stronger for it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. My thanks, too, to Rick Atterbury of the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency, and to Mary Sutherland, who we talked to at the start of the program. She lost her house in Gifford to a tornado, but she and her husband are determined to rebuild. We welcome any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website. You can go to it directly at will.illinois.edu/focus. Today's show was produced by Lindsay Moon. Jason Croft is our technical director and handles your calls. Sari Lesker is our intern, helping with production and research. Special thanks to Sean Powers for helping to track down audio of our news coverage of the 1996 Ogden tornado strike. Tomorrow on Focus, we resume our discussion of higher education, this time with a look at community colleges. Our guests will be the presidents of Parkland College in Champaign and Danville Area Community College in Danville. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus on WILL.